And we're live. This is the July 8th, 2021 meeting of the Pacifica National Board. I am in place of Chair Alex Steinberg. Chairing today, I'm Paulina Vasiliev, the Secretary for the PNB. And I would like to ask Madam Paulina, Recording Secretary, yes.
Is the session being recorded?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
So thank you. And we're streaming. I'd like to ask Marion Dane, our recording secretary, to please take the role.
I will do so. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Let's start. Chris Corey.
Here.
Good. Vanessa Dixon Briggs.
Here.
Good. Lyndon Foley.
Here.
Good. Once again, Jose Gutierrez, I presume, is excused. Heather Gray.
Here.
Good. Julie Hewitt.
Here.
Good. Sabrina Jacobs.
Here.
Good. Wally James.
Here.
Good. Dwayne Lark. Dwayne?
Dwayne Lark, present.
Good. Ali Lexa. Ali Lexa? We'll get back to him. Thomas O'Rourke. Okay. Jim Osborne. Jim Osborne, are you muted? I'm not hearing any response. We'll try this again. Ron Pinchback?
Here.
Good. Ralph Pointer? Ralph Pointer? Okay. Sandra Rawline?
I'm here.
Good. Lawrence Reyes?
Presente.
Good. Sean Rhodes.
Here.
Good. James Sagerton.
Here.
Good. Andrea Turner.
Presente.
Good. That's Von Gunton.
Present.
Good. Tom Voorhees.
Tom is here.
Good. Alex Steinberg, are we going to call Alex here or not? Okay, I guess not. Let us go back and try again. Ali Lexa.
Hello.
Ali Lexa. Oh, there you go.
I'm here. I can speak for myself.
Good.
I know you could, Ali. I just sent you an email because you asked for the link.
Thomas O'Rourke. Okay, we're going to assume he is not here. Jim Osborne. Jim Osborne? I hear nothing. Ralph Pointer? Ralph Pointer? I hear nothing. Okay, so as far as I can tell, we are missing Thomas O'Rourke, Jim Osborne, and Ralph Pointer. And Lawrence, do you have anything from Jose Gutierrez?
No, from what I understand, Heather and Ursula were supposed to reach out to Jose.
And I just realized, okay, Lydia Brazan. Is Lydia present?
Yes, I am. This is Lydia.
Right. Whoops. Make that present. Anita Sims. Is Anita present? I hear nothing. Okay.
Anita is still on vacation.
Oh, okay.
This is Heather. Let me just mention that, yes, Ursula and I were trying to get in touch with Jose, but we've not been able to do that yet. So I just want you to know.
Okay. Paulina.
Present.
Good. Arthur, we presumably will wait for the closed session. John Tatum.
Here.
Good. Okay.
Thank you, Madam Recording Secretary. So it looks like we have quorum.
Yes.
And the next agenda item is then, let's see, a report out from closed session of June 10th, 2021, which reads, the Pacifica National Board approved the relocating of KPFT and listing for sale of existing KPFT property. That report out is now published on pacifica.org under the notices section. Next would be excused absences. Do we have any? And I haven't received any requests for an excused absence. So would anybody like to move to excuse the absences, or should we? Going once. Well, maybe we should leave that for, since I'm not the regular chair, I don't know, perhaps we should leave that question for the next meeting when the chair is chairing or the vice chair is doing so. I'm looking for guidance from this body since I'm not a voting member. Hearing none, let's identify timekeepers. Would anybody like to volunteer to keep time for items? And I'll be happy to tell you how long each item is supposed to take. Anybody?
Or for
people. Yes, Lawrence.
I will keep time for items.
Thank you for that. And anybody willing to keep time for people? That's James. Usually 90 seconds. Thank you, James. I believe we have no announcements. So then the next item on the agenda is agenda approval, and that's a 20-minute item. I'll read the agenda. After agenda approval, we have approval of the minutes of the open session from June 10th. That's a 3-minute item. The link to the draft minutes is at the bottom of the agenda in case you haven't had a chance to see the minutes. After that, the item 4 is a report from Lydia Brazon, our IED, with Q&A, and that's a 10-minute item unless we need to extend. Then we expect to have Rene Peñalosa, National Election Supervisor, with a preliminary report on the voting on the referendum. Results are not expected, but we do expect the report. That's a 20-minute item. Item 6 is ICFO and Audit Committee report. That would be Anita Sims, who I understand is not here, together with the Chair of the Audit Committee, Eileen Rosen. That's a 30-minute item. We have item seven, committee reports, finance, development task force, perhaps. And I believe that's all, unless there are others. And then we have new business. We don't have any new business on the agenda. That's the agenda. Can I hear a motion to approve the agenda as presented?
I have a question.
Sure,
this
Lawrence.
Is just the open session agenda, right?
Correct.
Okay. Thank you.
Pauline, I move to approve the agenda.
Is there a second?
James, second.
I heard Lawrence first, so the agenda has been moved and seconded. Are there any objections to approving the agenda as presented? Hearing no objections, the agenda is approved. Next item on the agenda is approval of the minutes from the open session of June 10th.
Madam Secretary?
Yes, Lawrence.
I just want to let everyone know that Ralph Winter has joined the meeting.
Say that again?
Hey, Ralph.
That
here.
Ralph Winter has joined.
Ralph. Hi, Ralph.
Here. Got
good
you.
To see you.
Thanks, Lawrence.
Okay. Would anybody like to move to approve the minutes from the open session?
So moved, Chris Corey.
Is there a second?
James.
Thank you, James. And are there any objections to approving the minutes that can always obviously be amended if necessary? Minutes from open session from June 10th. Hearing no objections, the minutes are approved. We now can go on to the report from Lydia Brazon, our interim executive director. Lydia, the floor is yours.
Is that 10 minutes or 20 minutes, Paulina?
Oh, that's a 10-minute item.
Okay, thank you.
Is that enough, Lydia, or should we?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's just going to basically be questions because... Mm-hmm. Okay. So as was stated in the report out from our previous meeting in early June, is that the KPFT station site is for sale. So feel free to let our realtor know about that. I understand someone beat us to getting all of the particulars out there, but there is now a for sale sign and it has been listed. And so we are looking forward to relocating. And just to be clear, the idea of relocation is because for a very, very long time we have had incremental issues with the physical plant of the station. So even certainly way prior to COVID. And as I jokingly said before, even years ago, I called it rustic chic, and it certainly was. I was being very generous even then, because it was an older building, and with the humidity and then eventual mold and so forth, that the opinions that we received were, even if we paid $20,000, let's say, to remove the mold, that in a year it'll be back because of the depth that they found some of that. So there was that, electrical issues and serious plumbing issues with the pipes, and so it was unsafe for people to work in that environment, obviously. And so that had been ongoing. So it had been shuttered for a while now, and it was barely open for one or two staff people before. So it just became very serious, and I don't have to explain to everybody also what just what the weather conditions are in Houston with the humidity and the storms and all the things, unfortunately, that have befallen Houston. So none of that helps when you have an older building like that. So the station is very beloved, of course, but our stations are made up of our people. So what we're endeavoring to do is to find a new location, and there are different efforts in that, and we have a realtor. And so we are going to... What we're looking to do, of course, is to relocate in a wonderful spot that's accessible, that is convenient for our listeners, where we can have a wonderful grand opening, and that will be a nice, safe environment in which to work and broadcast from, and we really look forward to that. Any questions?
Lyndon from
staff. That's about it. The rest of my time last week, obviously, was spent with the audit stuff and so on and so forth, and other personnel issues. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Okay. I heard Lyndon for the stack. Is there anybody else for the stack? I'll take a quick stack now, or we'll go one at a time.
Tom for the stack.
Okay. Anybody else? Well, let's start. Go ahead, Lyndon.
Yes, Lydia. I did see that there's an article in the Houston Chronicle, at least online edition, about the house being up for sale, and there was a sign there or the property being for sale. But I have not seen it on the realtor whose name you gave us that it's been listed. And it's been, I think, over a month and that since you signed the papers. Or said you were signing the papers. I just don't understand.
Okay, well, my laptop is charging. I'll send it to you. I'll send you what he sent me. And they're also going to do it.
What did he send you?
The listing, the official listing of the property, along with the photo of where the sign the for sale sign.
Well,
but
I saw the photos in the paper.
Okay, well, that's basically the listing, but I will go ahead and send you the actual listing with the amount and so forth. But it went out in one of the, wasn't it the New Day, one of the New Day Pacifica emails they
I was
sent.
On the man's web. I was on the man's website. I went through it maybe 3 or 4 days ago, went through 12 pages of listings, and it wasn't there. I just looked, took a brief look again. An hour ago, and wasn't there. I'm wondering what's taking so long.
I will send you what he sent me, and they're also going to do an aerial view. But I'll send you his listing. I can certainly. I did not check his site. I just sent what he sent as the official listing for it.
Happy Lawrence to the stack.
Mm-hmm. I got you, Lawrence. Tom is next.
Okay, is
James
it
to the stack
turn?
Also, Paulina.
Got you, James.
Yeah, can I be copied on the listing also, please? And
who is this?
This is Tom Voorhees.
Well, this is what I addressed to. If you're on the PNB at Pacifica, that's where it's going to go, okay? So as soon as my laptop finishes charging, because I've used it all up in my work with Pacifica all day, so... It'll be charged soon.
I'll look for it there. My other, it's not exactly a question, but it would be real nice if we could select a new site that had a microwave shot to the transmitter site. And it would take somebody like myself or Mo to assess that situation at the time, but it would make it a lot easier if we had a shot to the transmitter site from the roof of the building, or if the building was up on a hill or something like that, to maintain continuity with the transmitter site. And that's all I had to say.
No, well, you should know, because Mo is one of our engineers, that he will definitely be involved in opining on some of the sites that we pick. I expect that we'll have multiple sites to choose from.
Dwayne Larkin.
And we will take you know, Mo's advice, of course. We will factor that in.
And that's Chris Corey to the stack.
Please. Tom's gone.
Paulina, did you get Dwayne Larkin?
I got Dwayne. I heard before Beth. Who did I hear?
Might have been me.
Right now,
Chris Corey.
Yes, Chris. Hi. Okay, great. So, yes. Hi. So, that's right. So, Tom, are you finished?
Yes.
Great. Next is Lawrence, and I have James, Dwayne, Chris, and Beth. Lawrence, go ahead.
Thank you, and I appreciate your effort, Lydia, and trying to. Relocate KPFT. I just want to ask is why the New Day sent out a nefarious email blast accusing the people involved in trying to sell this condemned property, essentially, and making it sound like what's next. So I don't know how New Day Pacifica supporters, knowing the fact, especially the directors on this call, knowing that that's not the fact. The fact is that that building is a public health hazard and has been for a while. And as funky and as much as I love that building and I love the time that I spend there, that was a very negative, nefarious email to try to gain some political points. So I would ask those New Day Pacifica supporters to denounce that at this meeting, because that was really a low blow, as far as I'm concerned. Thank you.
Lawrence, did you expect an answer from Lydia? That was a question to her, I assume. If not, next.
If she found the question, fine. If not, I just wanted to say that for the record. Thank you.
James Sagerton, next. Jim, you're muted.
Thank you. I was muted. Sorry. I just wanted to say that initially, when Lydia was describing, Lydia, when you were describing a lovely site that we're going to have where we can have an outdoor event and whatnot, it sounded like you had already chosen a site. I'm glad to hear that we're still going to be selecting from several sites, and we'll have a chance to look at that. I just wanted to note that one of our LSB chairs has announced that we have found a site, and he specifically named the location, but I assume that that's not the case. And I want to second what Tom was saying. I understand that if we can get a site that's closer to the antenna with a direct line of sight, that will greatly reduce the cost of transmission of the signal. And so I'm hoping that's a major consideration in your search.
There are several considerations. Among them is access to the community. As we know, we can't get CPB, the large grants for KPFT, due to a lack of diversity dating from way back, the same for KPFK. So to the degree that we can be in proximity to both the transmitter and diverse communities that make up the bulk of Houston, that would be good also. But at the end of the day, we're going to look at several factors. We're not looking at just one factor. You know, obviously, the price and what we're going to be able to afford, what we get from the other, from the existing property is a factor. Transportation to the site is a factor. Obviously the transmitter and so forth. The physical look of the place, I'm going to expect that hopefully the entire LSV can do walkthroughs to, let's say, if we can get it down to about three sites. I don't know of any site anywhere that has been brought to me. Nothing has even been recommended. So, but in terms of the sites, what I'm hoping is that the entire LSV, when it gets down to just a few sites to look at, that the entire LSV can go, that someone will be asked to take a video of the walkthrough and so forth, and that then we can have, obviously, at the local level, the local station board, as well as the national board, because it's a national investment as well. And so, you know, we need to look at this as well for as a national investment for the nonprofit corporation that we are. And then it'll be brought to the full board, and we can have the same options to look it over. And there you go, and we'll go from there.
Madam Secretary, you are at time for this item.
Thank you. Would anybody like to move to extend time?
5 minutes.
Is there a second?
Tom, motion second. To extend.
Are any objections to extending for 5 minutes? Hearing none, time is extended. Next on the stack is Dwayne Lark. Then I have Chris Corey and Beth von Gunten.
Lydia, I want to get a couple of questions in here. So if you could just answer yes or no. I would appreciate it.
I'll answer however I want, but go ahead and ask.
Well, thank you.
It may not be a yes or no answer to it, but go ahead.
I wouldn't have asked you that if I didn't think it could be a yes or no answer, Lydia.
Okay.
Nevertheless, are you aware that the KP, that Houston sits in a soup bowl just like New Orleans does, and so there are no hills, there are no mountains, there are no... We're in a valley. So those who are requesting that we be sitting on a high-end piece of land, it's no such animal. Houston is right at sea level. Now, are you aware of that?
I am aware of that.
Okay. Are you also aware of the fact that the only way we could facilitate what Tom and others are requesting is that we have a deal where we would have to have access to a high-rise, which cost exponentially more than anything we're probably going to be able to afford, because we'd have to get permission from that high-rise building to place something on top of it.
I am aware of that.
Okay, fine.
Which is why I said there are several factors, including there are some sites, some physical buildings that are easier to convert to a radio station to meet our needs, and others that are not quite as easy to convert. So there's like, you know, there's a couple of dozen things that you have to look at whenever you're making a move when it comes to a commercial site, much this, less a radio station.
This committee that has been formed in Houston, largely approved by the LSB, have they submitted a report of any sites that they have identified to you to date?
I don't know of any LSB committee. I only know that when we met previously, I asked that the committee that was referred to, which seemed to be an unofficial committee, that it be brought to the LSB and converted to an LSB voted on committee in order for me to accept such recommendations. So if that has happened, I hope that the LSB chair will let me know. That would be good.
I would have thought David Bass would have let you know. It's been in effect for at least 6 weeks now. In fact, Linda, maybe another person on the line is on that committee. What I'd like to do now is to read into the record very briefly a statement in the Houston Chronicle from a former 15-year tenured manager affecting KPFT and infecting and exposing in a negative way the Pacifica Foundation and maybe its intent with the monies that are going to be sold. And the Houston Chronicle quotes Dwayne Bradley as saying, "To me, it's the great concern that KPFT is going to be sold out." Bradley said, "I've seen it too often happen when that money is kind of put into the expediency of taking care of immediate financial difficulties on the national level, in New York City particularly, which has been a financial hemorrhage for Pacifica for decades, and others on the West Coast, leaving KPFT essentially homeless." He added that he's not concerned about the loss of the Montrose location itself. What worries him is the loss of what the building represents, a gathering place. We've kind of, in a sense, gotten used to not having that community space, although it hasn't been a community space for 80% of the people who live here. It's been a community space for a few folk of different hue, of one hue. But knowing it was still there and that at some point we could come back was somewhat assuring, Bradley said. And as we're coming out of this pandemic phase of our existence, to not have that as a possibility is saddening. Close quotes.
Mr. Lark, I apologize to interrupt you. Thank you. And just out of courtesy to others who are on the stack, and we might be running out of time, and I believe our national election supervisor is ready to give us a report. Would you mind wrap up, please?
I'll finish the quoting of the Houston Chronicle article from Mr. Bradley's comments. I honestly don't think that the license itself, which has just been renewed, is going to be sold. I think that KPFT represent too much in the realm of Pacifica and in Pacifica broadcasting itself. Close quotes. Just for the record. Thank you for listening.
All right. Chris Corey, you have the floor.
Thank you. I just need a copy of the most recent financial audit. For some reason, I can't seem to find mine. If somebody on the board could, Lydia or somebody else could please send me a copy, I would appreciate it.
My laptop's still charging, but if somebody can.
Paulina?
I think everybody has it.
We are 30 seconds, and Chris,
I'm sure
I will send
everybody
you
has it, but I can't find my
audit.
Copy. Thank you.
Chris, I will send you a copy. Paulina, we have 30 seconds.
Yes. Can we just exhaust the stack? We only have Beth Unglund waiting patiently on the stack, and then we can move on.
Can I get transcripts that show
Dwayne, you need to mute?
Sent to me in any given year?
Dwayne, you need to mute. Beth, you have the floor.
Welcome. Was that hello?
Yes, Beth, go ahead.
Thank you. Don't we have someone to commute him?
I'm trying. Go ahead if you can. I'm about to mute Mr. Lark.
Okay. Okay. This is Beth Von Gunten. I want to address the choice of KPFT building site
and specifically the necessities of emergency management. Line of sight access is a critical factor in functionality. It's not just simply a matter of convenience. It's a matter of functionality, especially in continuity of operations in any disaster situation. Without line of sight, direct line of sight, we're dependent on the internet to carry our signal. That's a significant vulnerability and seriously compromises our robustness. The internet is significantly less robust than is a direct line of sight signal. This is a technical issue with policy implications and should not be left up to the solely to the discretion of engineers. The board should stipulate this necessity. Thank you.
James for the stack.
There's time. The stack.
Folks, we are out of time on this item. Is this also a request to extend time on this item, or can we?
Yeah, I'll request an extension.
How long?
5 minutes.
Is there a second?
Lyndon seconds.
Okay. Are there any objections to extending for 5 minutes? Hearing none, go ahead.
Lyndon requests a stack.
And who requested the stack before that? James?
James and Ron.
James, Ron, and Lyndon. Okay, that's my order. Then James, you have the floor.
Thank you. I just wanted to ask if global warming and sea level rise are going to be a consideration. I noted it was mentioned that Houston is at sea level, and the maps I'm looking at in terms of what will be underwater by the end of this century includes a lot of the Houston area. I know it's a problem in New York. In fact, during the Hurricane Sandy, Superstorm Sandy, the entire first floor of the building that WBAI was in on Wall Street at the time was underwater, and we were knocked off the air by that. And so I'm sure it's not just those two stations. I think around the network, our stations are located near sea level. Mm-hmm. So I'm just wondering if we're thinking about long-term the sea level question.
Is that a question for me?
Yes.
I'm not thinking to the end of the century, no. That's the whole point, is that the board is going to have to look at investment period. Are we planning to keep the building for 20 years? It's unlikely that we're going to plan to the end of the century. But, you know, the same is true for KPFK and California here, you know, any of the coastal areas. And theoretically, we're all on the verge of extinction. So, but I don't mean to make light of it at all, because certainly Houston gets hit by hurricanes and other weather conditions. But at KPFK, they're very close to where, or not that far from where the Northridge earthquake was, and we're way overdue for that. So we plan as best we can, and that's another reason to have a building that has as much protection as possible, or that you can fortify for whatever the needs are. But it will be brought to this board. So so there you go.
Ron Bingeback, you have the floor.
Okay, just a quick question. Regarding the line of sight issue, I'm wondering if the places where there is where line of sight exists, you know, in the Houston area, are those specific neighborhoods or specific locations, that only provide that kind of capability? So in other words, you know, is this line of sight limited to just certain areas of the Houston community geographically? And if they are limited to certain geographic areas, I'd like a description of the areas that they're located in. And Lydia, I'm going to address this to Dwayne also, because he may know also.
Right. Yeah. No. But here is some of the things that I'm looking into, is that there are several of broadcast entities in Houston, all of whom have engineers many of whom we have some relationships through other GMs that are in the network that we don't know. So I do, that's, you know, one of the areas I'm still planning to look into. We just, all we want to do as a, certainly as board members, we should all want to do it, and myself, of course, is to become as educated as possible, have as much information as possible, and factor in all of the elements, not just the one-liners that we learned from somebody, and factor all of those things, look at it all together, and it will not be chosen in a vacuum. Certainly, I just want to reassure the board. I'm not going to go ahead and make a singular decision on a property. The entire board will be privy to this and will vote on a site because it's a Pacifica asset.
And the reason I ask that question, because I know that there's been some consternation by some members in the Houston area about trying to relocate the station into, you know, certain areas and you know, that they're concerned about. And I just want to make sure that this line of sight issue isn't used to justify, well, we need this location, we need this area, we need this particular geographic location, because even though it's in a well-heeled area, because it's in a nice environment and all that, that you know, that we need to do this, as opposed to you know, moving into a minority community or mixed community. Those are my concerns.
Yes, I wish that we were in a position to actually have an in-person board meeting in Houston, which has always been, by the way, our least expensive board meetings. If we get some kind of a good windfall beforehand, and although we've had them canceled because of hurricanes in the past, so who knows if that's a good idea, but nevertheless, thank you. Yes, of course.
Thank you, Lyndon Foley, of SOAR.
Madam yes, Secretary, thank we got you. 20 seconds left.
Okay. I may run over, Tad, if you'll mind, excuse me. But Houston is on a coastal plain. It is not in the valley. It is not in a soup bowl like New Orleans. New Orleans is totally crazy talk to say there were anything like that. And there are no hills. I mean, overpasses or maybe trash heap is the tallest thing in Houston. It's flat as can be. We're not at sea level. Downtown Houston is 50 feet above sea level. Now, with the curvature of the earth, you can see for about 15 miles, I believe, I remember from when I was a kid. And if any of you all want to look on a map, the transmitters off Houston, Fairbanks, North Houston, on northwest of downtown Houston. So those are actual facts. Thank you.
Great. And we are out of time for this item.
Motion to extend 5 minutes.
Is there a second?
A second, Lawrence.
Are there any objections to extending for 5 minutes? Okay, then we have five more minutes. Go ahead, Dwayne.
Okay, facts, if you want facts. Houston is known as a bayou city for a reason. It was built on swamps. He indicated that the highest part of Houston is downtown. That was specifically the engineer's point, to make it downtown so it wouldn't flood. Everything else floods. The fact of the matter is that most of Houston
is. I did not say that.
Why are you interrupting me when I didn't interrupt you when you were trying to discredit what I was saying? But you're not telling the truth either.
Order,
which
please.
Which is the New Day. We know that. But if you have some modicum of control, I wanted to interrupt you with your lies, but I didn't.
Everybody, please. We're not going to have crosstalk and the mutual accusations. I think we're above that. Thank you so much. And so let's do it one at a time. Dwayne, are you finished? Or do you have more? And I please ask that nobody interrupt as good courtesy. We still have some of the 5 minutes left, and you can ask for the stack.
I think Dwayne is muted and he can't speak. So,
Dwayne, unmute yourself.
Yes, I was just saying that it's not us crosstalk. He crosstalked me. He disrespected me. So I didn't disrespect him. I didn't interrupt him. But that's the privilege that some people think they have in this country. Nevertheless, what I was pointing out was is that Houston was built on the bayous and built in a swamp. And the highest point in Houston is downtown. And that's why it was built as such. But as I see, and if you look at the record, the transmitter is allegedly in Stafford, Texas. And if that's true, Houston has no zoning. There's no zoning in the Houston region, practically. So there are buildings built everywhere around everything. And as I understood it, FM signals are frequency modulated. So they can go around. They can go around things as opposed to an AM station having not to be able to go around things. So I do think this business of we need to be high on the ground, and the fact that if you try to build something or go to something, it's going to be outside of the city of Houston based on where the transmitter is unacceptable.
Dwayne, thank you. That was time as well. Is there anybody else for the stack? Renee Peñalosa has been ready, and she's very busy, and she wanted to go. So okay. I hope that we can get her to report to us. Anybody else? Okay, so then in that case, I believe we can move on to our next item on the agenda, which is a report from our National Election Supervisor, Renee Peñalosa. Let me see if she has joined us already.
She has. How much time, Paulina?
Oh, yeah, that's a 20-minute item. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Renee, you have the floor. Thank you for coming. Renee, we can't hear you. Let's check. Let's see what's going on. I don't see Renee, but I did text her just now to say that we're ready for her. So, okay. Should be any second now, hopefully. In the meantime, let's see. Is Eileen Rosen coming?
It's
an
override. Yeah, they have it
right
down
there. They don't call the override.
I'm Eileen.
Yeah, why don't you do that? That'll be helpful, Lauren, so that we have it lined up for the next. I don't know what's going on with Renee, but I was texting with her, so she should be hearing me.
See, my thing is the chair should have said to Linda, you got an order.
Mm-hmm. But she don't want to talk to Wayne for that. Because she not late. She rushed, but she...
Dwayne, you're not muted.
Dwayne, I am Russian, but that's beside the point.
Hey, ruin it. We can listen to the conversation.
That's not cool. Okay, we're still waiting for Renee. That's unfortunate. Let's see. She had come on, but when she realized that we were still taking more time on the previous item, she left and asked me to text her once we were ready. I texted her, we're ready.
Well.
Let me call her. One second.